Well, good morning, my dear friends. It is wonderful to be gathered in our Father's house again, to be able to receive from Him. I know that there's so many things that bring us to church: our friends, our the relationships that we have here, the music, and but the main reason that we come here is because this is where God is, and we need Him, and we need His grace, His love, His forgiveness. And so this is an awesome opportunity once again to be in His presence. As we gather here this morning, let us begin remembering the beginning of our life with Him, the beginning in baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray, folks. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before You today. We thank You that You have blessed us, Lord, that you have come here to and redeemed us from sin, death, and the devil, Lord, because of Your amazing mercy. Lord, I pray that You would help us, Lord, this morning as we hear Your word, as we sing songs, Lord, about You and to You, that we would better understand and better remember the grace that has saved us, Lord, and that we would be able to return thankful, grateful praise and thanksgiving, Lord, not just with our words, but with our lives. Thank You, Lord, for all this. In Your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends. Let us begin by standing up and confessing our sin. This is one of the big things that we come here for, is for His grace and the forgiveness that Jesus earned for us. So let us confess. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to You that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against You by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to Your infinite mercy, seeking Your grace. For the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before You of all sins. I have lived as if You did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let Your love have its way with me. And so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I ask for all of this, and I ask for grace. I want to do better. In the mercy of our Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for His sake, God forgives us all of our sin. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, He gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. May the Lord who has begun this good work in us bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us return praise to this God who has so graciously forgiven us.
With You and my soul.
I just want to give you a little instruction here. The reason that we sing in church, it's because we like to make music and stuff. That's true. But there's two main reasons that we sing in church. One is that we are focused on God and his things, and that because God has filled us with such love, we overflow with singing and praise for him, which means we're not thinking about ourselves at this point, which kind of works because there's some people out there who are saying, I'm doing my neighbors a favor by not singing. Thing is, when we're gathered here in God's presence, it's not about us. It's all about him. So God says, make a joyful noise, all right? And the second reason is that we sing these songs is because, as Martin Luther said, we are singing the gospel into our hearts as we sing these songs. As we say these words, it's better than just hearing them. When you hear the words, they sometimes can go right in one ear and out the other, you know. But if you're saying these words yourself, you're putting these things into your memory and bringing them deeply, more deeply into you. And music has a way of working past all of the obstructions, and they make things much more memorable. And this is one of the wonderful ways that God has given us that we are able to remember his unbelievably important truths and gospel at just the right times in life. And so I just encourage you guys to get past our insecurities and just sing, all right? We won't judge, okay? We won't, and God's going to do some good stuff through us. So let's keep singing.
Our hymn of the month is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. A little history. Robert Robinson was a determined English dissenter, a prominent Baptist, and a scholar who made a lifelong study of the antiquity and history of Christian baptism. He was the author of the hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, which he wrote in 1758 at the age of 22 after converting to Methodism. The lyrics of Come Thou Fount are based on 1 Samuel 7:12, in which the prophet Samuel raises a stone as a monument, the King James Version. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath thou the Lord helped us.
Wandering from the fold of God. Morning. We're going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 12 through 20. Now, the Corinthians were having a little bit of problems here. They were telling them who they're following. They're following Paul. Another one's following Peter. And another's following Apollos. And Paul says that's not so to be. Don't divide the church. Keep the church in unity. And so that's what we're going to read and to edify our God in our singing and in our praying and in our message today. Paul says, since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret it, what they say. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the Spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children. In regard to evil, be infants. But in your thinking, be adults. This is a word of the Lord.
All right, kiddos, it is now time for the children's message. And the message this morning is going to be done by the Falls family. So I think that means
me,
Brian.
Me! I'm so excited! Guys, guess what? Pastor Bob is taking us fishing today. So excited. Take a seat. I'm so excited. I am ready for it. I got my fishing pole. I've got my fishing hat, complete with safety pins. You can make a hook out of a safety pin, right?
Hey,
I've got my boots. I've got my worms.
Okay.
Yeah, don't worry. They're covered. They're not going to go anywhere. All right.
Take a seat.
All right. Are you so excited to go fishing today? Nobody's going to be cold out there, are they?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, Pastor Bob, are you taking us fishing during the sermon today?
Sort of.
You're not taking us fishing with you're not taking us fishing with the fishing pole?
No.
I don't need my worms?
Not today.
But I went and dug up worms. It was. It's frozen out there. Did I misread? We're not going fishing for fish. Did it say we were going fishing for people? How do I fish for people? Does it work to go fishing with a fishing pole? Can I fish for you with a fishing pole? Are you sure?
Yeah.
Just go. You're right. I can't go fishing for people when there's ice. That's true. I'd be kind of cold. Also, I don't think I can go fishing for people with a pole, can I? You don't want to be hooked, do you? No. All right, so this isn't going to work. How do I go fishing for people? Jesus, in the next story, in the gospel reading, in the next thing that Pastor Bob's going to read from the Bible, Jesus tells the disciples to go, they're out fishing, they're not catching anything. Jesus says, put your nets on the other side, and all of a sudden they have tons of fish coming in. And Jesus said, great, Now I'm going to go make you fishers for people. What does that mean? How do we fish for people? Do we do a net?
No.
No. Okay, so if
we
I can't fish
love.
For... Love?
Yes, love.
How does that work?
Because...
What are ways that I can fish for people with love? Gavin?
Telling them about Jesus.
Telling them about Jesus. So I could just go up to people and say, Jesus loves you.
No. No.
I could.
Yes.
You could do that, right? People may look at you. People may be like, yes, he does. I'm so glad. And other people may be like, what? Right? Okay, so what else could I do? How else could I fish for people? Love. How could I fish for people with love? Read the Bible. Yep. What else? What are other ways that I could fish for people with love? How could I tell them about Jesus with love?
Thinking happy thoughts.
Thinking happy thoughts. What else? What if you see a friend crying? What? What if you see a baby crying?
Give them a hug.
You could give them a hug. Yes, absolutely. What else could we do? What if you see a friend really struggling with their homework?
Help them.
You could help them with their homework. Yeah. What if your mom and dad ask you to help set the table? With whining and complaining?
No.
No.
Mom,
it's even better without whining and complaining.
We have to do that.
Yep. Hard life you live. What about, what else? How else could you show people with love? What if, do any of you have extra food?
Yeah.
Could you share with people who don't have as much food?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what's coming up in a couple months?
Valentine's.
That's closer than a couple months, but Valentine's is coming. And Valentine's is a great way to show people that you love them, whether it's your friend, somebody, a classmate, your teacher, your parents, right? In a couple months, VBS is coming. Could you invite friends to VBS? That's a great way to tell people about Jesus, right? I'm so excited for VBS. Any other ideas of how you could tell people about Jesus with love? Could you share? Could you help a friend on the playground? Yeah. All sorts of ways that we can tell people about Jesus using love and our actions. And can we use our words too? Can we tell them that Jesus loves them?
Yeah.
And are all those ways that would bring people into Jesus, like we are catching them? We could go fishing for people that way?
Yeah.
It's a pretty cool job we get. Also, not as cool as ice fishing would be right now, which is a bonus. And a lot easier to dig your worms.
And
right?
Actually, that's the right
All right, let's go ahead and pray, please. Repeat after me. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity.
To work with you in loving other people.
To work with you in loving other people.
Open our eyes and our hearts. To ways that we can love others. And give us the courage to actually do it. All these things we pray in your son's name. Amen. All right. See, little worship. I have a land graph back there with the cross.
All right, everybody, as your kids leave for a little worship, don't worry, we will bring them back. Otherwise, we have to feed them, and that gets expensive. All right, my dear friends, let's dig into God's word today. The sermon scripture reading for today is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, We've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore and left everything and followed him. What a day Peter was having, huh? Or Simon, I guess, at this point. He hadn't been dubbed the Rock yet. But basically, he was... You ever had one of those experiences? There's a problem in front of you, a thing that you know what to do, you know how to do it, you know all the right steps to take. You do them all faithfully, you do everything you can, and it just doesn't work. I have this happen to me all the time. It is the most frustrating thing in the world. And at the end of the day, you're cleaning up from your absolutely fruitless work. Nothing has happened. You're just not getting anywhere. And then what makes it even better is when you have some guy just walk up to you and ask for a favor. That's going to make your day even longer. Like, can I sit in your boat and just, you know, teach from your boat? I mean, he had been out all night. I'm certain he wanted to go home and have some food and go to sleep. But this guy came and asked this favor, and Peter's a nice guy, I guess, because he totally went for it and let Jesus in the boat, and Jesus teaches. And then when the teaching is over, Peter's got to be thinking, okay, finally, I'm going to drop this guy off on the shore. I'm going home, having dinner, and going to bed. And this guy says, "We're not done yet. I want you to go out and try again, only this time I want you to do it wrong." Okay? And you got to understand, Peter had a whole life of this fishing business. He knew what to do. He knew the right way. He knew the right time. He knew the right place. He knew what would work. It just didn't work this time. You know, I mean, he did it all right. You can't imagine that this guy who was a fisherman from birth didn't know how to properly fish and would have willingly or, you know, negligently just wasted an entire night. He was frustrated. He was annoyed. He was tired. And now he's got this guy who, he's a carpenter. I mean, what does he know about fishing? And so Peter is a really compliant guy, actually. I know he gets a lot of bad press in the Bible. Everyone, you know, he says a lot of things. He's one of those people, I don't think he thinks before he speaks sometimes, and he's the one that always says what everybody else is thinking and gets himself in all kinds of trouble. But this time, okay, we'll do it. Just because you said so, we'll do it. But what was driving Peter to be obedient at this time? I mean, what was making Peter listen to Jesus? It wasn't because he was a carpenter. It wasn't because he was a speaker. It was because of who Jesus is. Peter saw Jesus do some pretty amazing things. And Peter saw Jesus say some pretty amazing things. He taught the people, and he did it with authority, and he did it. He spoke in ways that was unbelievably helpful. It was true, and he knew it was true, and it was moving, and it was life-changing, and it changed who Peter was. And Peter knew that this Jesus was something special. I mean, whether or not he knew everything about Jesus and what he was, when he obeyed, but he trusted Jesus enough that he did the ridiculous. He went fishing in the wrong place, the deep water, at the wrong time of day. And it worked. Not only did it work, it worked ridiculously. I mean, this is the kind of catch of fish that doesn't happen. It never happens. This is not something that ever happens, where you catch so many fish that it almost sinks two boats. That there's so many fish that the nets start to tear. That there's so many fish that everybody watching was just left in awe. And they were just, what is this? And it was done all wrong. This wasn't just luck. This was insane. So much so that Peter looked at Jesus and I think for the first time started to really get an inkling of who this guy is. He starts to realize that this kind of thing, it doesn't just happen. This kind of thing happens only when somebody with the ultimate authority over everything, including fish, involves himself directly. And that's what he did. And Peter fell on his knees in front of Jesus and said, "Go away from me. I'm sinful." It's kind of interesting. As soon as Peter starts really understanding who Jesus is, he does the wrong thing. I mean, before he knew, he was doing the right thing. You know, he did the insane. He went fishing in the deep water during the day, just wrong. But now, all of a sudden, he finally starts to understand who Jesus is, that he is somebody really closely connected to God, if not God himself. I mean, something really is going on about this Jesus guy. And Peter's response is, "I'm sinful. And because I'm sinful, you need to go." You ever wonder if Jesus, you ever wish that Jesus would give us all our prayers? Well, here's a prayer that Peter is very glad Jesus did not give him, did not answer, you know, give Peter what he was asking for. Did Jesus leave? Yeah, this is one of those places where at the end of Peter's prayer, Jesus said, "Not your will, but mine be done," right? Which actually makes sense because Jesus is God, so that works out. But the thing is that Jesus's will for Peter was not that he would leave Peter alone, but that he would pull Peter to himself. His will for Peter was that Peter would be his. That he would be his in a relationship, that he would be his in who he was, in his very being, not just in what he did, but in who he was all the way down to his core. And he said, "Not only are you going to be mine, not only are you going to be my disciple, speak for me, speak with me, do all of these things, and you are going to do the work that I am doing right now, and you're going to catch men." And you know, it's interesting because in this account of Jesus calling Peter, he doesn't ask, "Please follow me." It's not what he does. It's a direction. It's a command. It's a statement of fact. From now on, you will catch men. Now, Peter could have all the same objections at this point as well, right? Because Peter, he's just a fisherman. He doesn't have the gift of gab. He doesn't have all the things necessary to be this itinerant preacher, to guide people to Jesus. He didn't even really completely know who Jesus was, but Jesus said, "From now on, you will catch men." And Peter followed him. Now, Peter gets a lot of guff in the Bible. There's so many. It is such an easy thing to preach a sermon picking on Peter. It's really easy because he says crazy stuff sometimes, you know? But the thing is this. In this story, Peter does so much right. In the end, he listens when Jesus talks. Jesus says, you go out, put your nets in the water in all the wrong ways, but do it the way I'm telling you. And he did it. And later when Jesus said, you will catch men, Peter followed and he did it. And I think a lot of times that, you know, God tells us we're supposed to go out and catch men, we're supposed to do this too, right? And we have all the same objections that Peter could have had. You know, not so good with the putting words together thing. I've tried sharing the gospel before and people didn't like it. Or I'm afraid I'm going to say it wrong. I'm not like trained in all that theological stuff. I might not have all the answers. Or we'll say I'm afraid that if I share the gospel, people aren't going to like me, or I could lose my job, I could get fired, I could get disciplined, I could get... And we come up with all of these scary stories and all of these situations where we're saying, see, Jesus, I understand that you are telling me that as your child, as one who has received this grace, this gospel, this love, that we are supposed to take this message that has redeemed us, this new relationship that you have poured into us through this gift of baptism and through the work of the Word and the work of the Spirit through this Word, that we have been changed, that we are new, that we are redeemed, that we have confidence in our future because we know that our final destination is heaven, no matter what this world throws at us. That we can have peace in the middle of very troubled times because we have the confidence of knowing how the story ends. And our job is to take that message out into the world and share it with as many people as we can, as effectively as we can, as respectfully as we can. And all of us are very uncomfortable now because this is not good, because this means I actually have to do something, say something, go out of my way, do all these things that are not going to be natural or comfortable at first. And we tell God, I don't know, I'm not sure it works that way anymore. You know, persecution, difficulties, struggle, learning, being accountable, saying the right things, finding out answers, you know, all those things that we're going to have to do if we do this, it's going to be tough. And Jesus just says, from now on, you're going to catch men. So are we going to obey? Or are we going to object? It's kind of a binary question, isn't it? Which way are we going to go? Peter got this right some of the time, right? I mean, did he get this wrong too? Peter got this so wrong sometimes. He got this so wrong sometimes that not only did he, when he was called on it, right the night that Jesus was betrayed and Jesus is on trial and somebody comes up to him and says, hey, aren't you with this guy? And he's like, no! Don't know him. Don't have any idea who this guy is, right? Okay, is he being a fisher of men at this point situation? Not so much, right? So he boldly defied this command of God. And what was Jesus' answer? Remember what happened? Hey, it was another story about fishing, wasn't it? Yeah, the disciples were like, they didn't have anything else to do. Jesus was like in the tomb and they had no idea what to do with their time. He wasn't in the tomb anymore. He'd risen, but they didn't know what to do. Jesus said, kind of wait until I tell you. And so they went back to their old job and started fishing because I guess what else are you going to do? And they're out fishing and this guy comes walking up on the beach. Strangely similar story, right? And Jesus says, hey, put your net on the other side of the boat. They do. They catch a bunch of fish. They come to shore. Jesus already has fish on the fire. And then he turns to Peter and he says, Peter, do you love me? What does Peter say? Of course I love you. And he says, tend my sheep. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Of course I love you. And then he asks him again, Peter, do you love me? And after every time that he asks that, that Peter answers, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus answers, tend my sheep. Did Jesus rescind Peter's call to be a pastor, to be an apostle, to be his man, to be a fisher of men in his kingdom? Did he change any of that? Instead of punishing Peter, dishonoring Peter, our God is so gracious, so loving, so full of compassion, so forgiving that he not only forgave Peter, but he reinstated Peter to the same job he had before, and he said, now go, tend my sheep. My friends, we fall short. We don't do the job that God gave us. We're not the evangelists we need to be. We're not the ones out there speaking, just bearing witness. You don't have to answer every theological question. Just tell people what Jesus has done for you. Has Jesus done some amazing things for you? I know he has, because he always does. And all we need to do is go to people and say, well, I hear what you're saying, and let me just tell you what God's done for me, and this is what God's done for me. And you can start to tell them and start to explain and help people to see who this amazing God is, what his heart for us is. Introduce them to the idea of grace, of undeserved love, and the things that undeserved love has caused God to do on our behalf. And then work the question, the conversation. It doesn't have to be one conversation. It can be a whole bunch of conversations over time, but work the conversation into the grace that changes lives so that people have the opportunity to believe. If they don't hear, they can't believe. And so we have this opportunity laid in front of us, this chance to make an eternal difference in the hearts and minds of another person. That not that we are so amazing, but that we have the message that can connect them to the one who is so amazing. And we fall short of it, but when we fall short of it, what do we do? Do we just learn that, you know, I'm not good at this, and so I probably shouldn't do it? Do we say, well, I'm, you know, obviously that didn't work, so I guess that's it, I'm done? Or do we keep trusting the God who tells us, you will be fishers of men? That we just turn to God like we do every time we sin and fall short of his expectations for us, and we confess our sin. We say, God, I messed up. I fell short. I didn't get this right. And receive from him the forgiveness that Christ earned for us on the cross, and that forgiveness that gives us new life, that forgives us, that gives us another chance, that forgiveness that makes it possible for us to dig ourselves up off the ground and get back out in the world. And as we receive in this communion, this amazing meal that our God has given us, whereby we receive forgiveness of sins, but not just that, we receive strength to go back out and work and to live the life that God has given us to live. What a God we have. That we can share his grace in grace. That we can go out and witness without worrying if we get it wrong. I mean, not that we're trying to get it wrong and we want to work hard not to get it wrong, but when we're out witnessing, we don't want our possibility of maybe not saying everything perfectly right to stop us from witnessing, because all our job is to tell people, this is what God has done for me. Bear witness to what he has done and rest on his grace. Can we pray together? We're laying down some hard stuff, because I understand this is not easy. This is uncomfortable. This is anxiety producing, because all of a sudden now you have to go out and actually do something, right? And God never said this was going to be easy. That's one thing he didn't say, right? But on the other hand, the only way to get started is to get started. But we want to get started under God's power, with God's direction, with God's guidance. And so let's go to our God. Let's go to our amazing God and just pray for that. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you and we thank you so much for the grace and redemption that we have received from you, Lord. This forgiveness of sins that we can hold to, Lord, in the middle of life and in spite of everything that we know we've done wrong and all the places we have fallen short, that we can cling to your grace and the forgiveness that you have earned for us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to take that message, Lord, that we would reflect the truth that you have spoken, that we will become fishers of men. And that we will share this grace, this gospel, this glory, so that more people, Lord, can know you, know what you've done, and have the opportunity, Lord, to be rescued, redeemed, and saved from the future that leads to death. All this, Lord, we pray in your name, because you saved us, because you made us your children, and have promised to hear us. Amen. All right, folks, as we continue our worship service, I ask that you guys would please use the folders in front of you in the pews. Please record your attendance in those, and let us continue our worship service by singing praise to the name of the one who has redeemed us.
Sing it louder, as nothing has the power to say.
My friends, as we come to the part of our service where we confess the faith that we have been taught, I think it's so important that we understand that we are standing on the shoulders of Christ. There is absolutely no question about that. He is the foundation, and there is no other foundation but him. But in addition to Christ, we are standing on the shoulders of many Christians who have lived before us, who have studied God's word, lived with through the Holy Spirit, had experiences, learned and grown and figured out the things that are the most essential truths that we need to live by, and that those were incorporated into this creed, this Apostles' Creed, and that we get to stand on their shoulders and stand on the word of God that they have learned and that they have learned to appreciate. So let us stand and let us confess our faith using the words of this Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. My friends, let's pray. Lord, we come before you today. We thank you once again that you have made us your children, Lord. Not because that makes us something special, that shows that we are somehow better than the other people around us, Lord, but because we know that it makes us saved. It makes us loved by you. It makes us valuable because you cared so much that you were willing to die so that we could spend eternity with you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to love in that same way, that we would be driven by that love for you and driven by the love that you have for the people around us, that we would be willing to step out and share the faith that you have given us, Lord, that we would bring the gospel, Lord, in every place in our lives, not just to the lost, but also to the saved, because we know that in this life it is difficult to remember at all times that our sin is covered and that we are loved by you and that we are accepted by you and that we are valuable because of what you did for us and because of your love for us. And so we need to be always encouraging one another, reminding each other of the gospel. Help us, Lord, to be faithful in doing this. And help us, Lord, also be faithful in bringing the gospel to those who do not believe, that they might also be able to join with us, Lord, and spend eternity with you because of all that you have done for them on the cross. Lord, you are so good. You are so righteous. You are beyond fair. You are gracious. Lord, I pray that you would be with us as we share that grace. And Lord, we pray for all these ministries in our church, Lord, the people who reach out to our community and help people with physical needs, Lord. We pray for those who are helping people and continuing to encourage and help people with their spiritual needs. As we teach the confirmands, Lord, who are just wrapping up their confirmation classes, Lord, and they'll be confirmed this month, I pray that you would continue to be working in their lives, Lord. Encourage them in their faith. Help them, Lord, so that they would be mature and able, Lord, to live out their lives in a way that will bring glory to you and that will declare the righteousness that you have given them, the value that you have placed upon them, Lord. I pray that they would be living their lives according to the identity you give them as your holy child. Lord, I pray that you would also be with those who are working in the hearts and minds of our school students. I pray that you would be with those teachers, be with Mr. Denning, Lord, as he administrates. Give them wisdom and help them to move forward. Help them to be passionate. Help them to be faithful. Help them to be consistent. Help them to be persistent, Lord, in the face of all of the adversities that life is handing them at this time, the normal ones and all the ones that are unique to these days. I pray that you would just continue to be with them and give them everything they need so that they can continue to speak your gospel, your truth, your knowledge, Lord, into the hearts of the young people. Lord, I pray that you would also be with their families, their parents, help them as they can grow in their faith and continue to get to know you better, Lord, and learn what it means to love you and be loved by you. Lord, I pray that you would just bless our school in all its many, many ways. Lord, I pray that you would also be with the MOPS ministry, there's so many other ministries of our churches. Those people work so hard as well to speak your truth, to bring more people into the knowledge of the faith. You are so good that you give us the opportunity to serve you and serve others. Lord, I pray that you would help us as we help us to be wise and help us to have faith, help us to move forward. Lord, all these things we bring before you. We pray also for the families of our congregation, Lord. That is the most essential, the basic unit, Lord, of the Christian walk is the family, Lord, with the fathers who teach the children and the mothers who just pass their faith on, Lord, to the ones that you have given them to love. Lord, I pray that you would help us also be faithful to our children, faithful to you, that our children may believe and have that lifelong growing faith that they so desperately need. The most important gift that a parent can give their child is that relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to be with all of the parents, Lord. There's so many things that are going on in this world, the distractions, the frustrations, the difficulties. Lord, I pray that you would just work through those things to bring us closer to you, Lord, rather than letting those things distract us from you. Let us bring all of our concerns to you so that in all those things, Lord, you may be glorified. All these things we pray, trusting in your mercy, knowing that you are God and we are not. And we pray the prayer that you taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
Within me, because you died and rose.
an amazing thing just happened here, that we've received from God his body and blood, and that through that body and blood, Jesus has promised us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation, that he, God in his wisdom, has chosen to use this gift to deliver to us the grace that he earned for us, and that his promise is good. His word is true. We are forgiven. We are loved. We are his own. Knowing all this is true, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing as we go our way today. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together.
Goodness, love.
please have a seat? All right. A few announcements as we go our way today. First of all, Camilla's Guatemala. Basically, the way it's going to work is if you come to Camilla's and eat with us, you're going to help feed people in Guatemala as well. We're not able to go to Guatemala this year with all the COVID concerns and stuff. We're just not sure what's going to happen by then, and so it's kind of hard to go through all the work of planning a trip and then being disappointed last minute like happened last time. So we're kind of being a little, or hedging our bet on that. And so what we're doing instead is we're sending money down there to one of our guys that helps run the team while we're in country. And he is taking money and buying food and delivering it to people who need food. And there's a ton of people who need food down there right now. And so if you come out to eat with us at Camilla's, 10% of the night's sales are going to be given to us, and we're going to send that money down to Guatemala where the people are going to need it. Also, we've got a blood drive coming up on Sunday, February 13th, information in the bulletin. And we have a new website at St. Mark's, which is kind of exciting for us because our old website was very old. We were planning on redoing it right when COVID hit, and then we thought we better not change the web, you know, make the website new and unstable right when we were depending on it so much during COVID. So it's all new now. And a few things that are in there that weren't before is we have, you know, the hymn of the month that we've been doing. We have a hymn, we're starting like a St. Mark's hymnal in there, and we're like putting the words of the songs in there and also a recording of our people singing the songs. So it's kind of fun. So you can use those in family devotions, just listen to them in the car, whatever you want to do with them. Just don't be setting it up while driving. That's unhealthy. Bad things happen. All right, with that then, and so yeah, there's some really, really great stuff on the website. You can also, like, from now on, we'll be able to, like, buy Christmas and Easter flowers and t-shirts and everything. You can do it right on the website, which is kind of cool. So check that out. Otherwise, we have Bible studies this morning. The children are going to be doing the Lord's Prayer, and they're going to meet in the church lobby and walk over to the gym together. And Kim Becker is going to be starting a Bible study on the women who do not quit. I told her this morning, I want to do the companion Bible study, the men who give up easily. Anyway, and then Brian Falls is going to be teaching in the worship center right here, Man's Search for Meaning. And that's the menu of Bible studies for today. So God's blessings as you are, please do take time to be part of our Bible studies here. They are very helpful, very good, and we need God's word in our hearts as deeply as we can possibly get it there. So I will see you in the back, folks. God's blessings on your week. What? Oh, you didn't, oh. Okay, yes, at this time, because I have remembered, we're gonna have Sherry Haas is gonna come up and talk about our youth mission trip that we are doing this year. Okay.
I'll only take a second, but we wanted to just make you guys aware, if you weren't, that we were offering two trips this summer for the youth because we haven't been able to go in 2 years. And there's been info about them out for quite a while, but our deadlines are coming up. So the deadline for the youth gathering sign up is February 15th. The Petries are leading that trip. The deadline for the youth mission trip sign up is March 1st. And I just wanted to tell you really quick a few things. If you have eighth graders, up through current freshmen in college, those are the ages that can go on the youth mission trip this year. We've expanded the age a little bit because people have missed it for a couple of years. So it's to Arizona, to the Navajo Reservation. And we've done this many times. We go to the same place every year. We work with the same pastor down there. We stay in Black Mesa. We actually sleep up on top of a mesa in a church. It's $850 for each of the kids to go, each of the teenagers. There's many opportunities to raise that money, which are going to start very soon. And it's an awesome opportunity. We're talking about sharing Jesus' love this morning. That's what this is all about. We're going there, and we are working on the reservation, basically doing whatever they need help with, sharing Jesus' love. We sleep on the floor. The kids use outhouses. It's pretty bare bones. We're living like the people live that are on that reservation. It's an awesome opportunity. Some of our youth are here that have gone on this trip, and they would tell you it changes your outlook on life. It changes your relationship with God. Is a great opportunity for your teenagers to grow in their faith. So that the dates of that are June 17th to 26th. And then the other trip that the Petries are leading is also an awesome opportunity. It's the National Youth Gathering. It's only held once every 3 years. It's a totally different trip. The mission trip, we are working in the reservation every day. The youth gathering is an opportunity for the kids to grow in their faith by being with thousands of other high schoolers their ages, that they do all kinds of workshops and mass gatherings, and bands are there, and all kinds of things. It's a really great opportunity, too. The dates for that trip are July 7th to 15th, and the cost of that trip is $1,295. So I just want to tell you all about these. Since the deadlines are coming up, you can talk to me or Bill if you've got any questions. We would love to take anybody that wants to go. You don't have to be a St. Mark's member. This can be friends. This can be anybody. And a way you can support these trips is we're going to start doing fundraisers. The teenagers are going to sell T-shirts. We're going to do a spring rummage sale, so save up all your stuff that you want to get rid of. In April, we'll do that the same day as the Hilltop rummage sale in the whole neighborhood. What else? Mulch. The kids are going to be selling mulch. And so that's a great way for them to earn money, too. I think that's everything, right?
Okay.
Thank you.
All I have to say to this is the pastor side of these two trips is this. The benefit of the mission trip is that the kids get to go out and live for not themselves. Everything in a high schooler's life is about them, right? They go to school, it's about them. They go to sports, it's about them. Everything is about them. This is an opportunity for kids to go out and live about a week and a half thinking of everybody else around them and not them. And not just not them, but about Christ and what Christ has done for them, but also what Christ has done for these people and the love that Christ has for them. And so it's an exercise of faith and a very, very foundational, formative exercise of faith. The National Youth Gathering, it's an incredible opportunity for kids to hear amazing speakers. These are people who have written books, that have run ministries, that have done, they've really lived this out in their life, this faith, and they are. This is an opportunity for our kids to hear their testimony, their witness, and what Jesus has taught them through their difficulties and challenges that they've overcome, which is an amazing opportunity as well. So there you go. They're both amazing trips, and because of COVID, they got stacked on the same year. So there we are. All right. So with that, God's blessings on your week, and I'll see you guys in the back.